Seattle's Morning News. This is Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. These two gentlemen became internationally famous simply for the title of their course at the UW, which was Calling Bullshit. Jevin West, who's an assistant professor at the Information School, and Carl Bergstrom, who's with the Department of Biology, and they have melded their disciplines to try and teach students when they're being fed misinformation, no matter how well that may be disguised.
That's right on, Dave.
Now, the follow-up you've done is this very disturbing website called whichfaceisreal.com. And this takes the whole idea of bullshit to the next level. Tell me what you were trying to show.
You know, over the last several years, there's been a quantum leap in the ability to create fake videos, fake audio, fake images. It's this technology, you know, there's lots of technology, but one of them is called these GANs, Generative Adversarial Network algorithms. And they can create these images that look so human, it's almost impossible to tell the difference between real humans and fake humans.
So you put up a website where you put two faces side by side, and you simply ask, click on the one you think is real. I took your test. I went through them all. And I thought I'd be pretty good at detecting the fake ones, but I was wrong about half the time. So where did you get these photos? Did you guys put them together yourselves?
Photos were generated using technology that was recently released and open source by NVIDIA, the graphics card company. And so they're created on the company's graphics cards. And it's using one of these generative adversarial networks. The way it works is you've got two neural nets, two kind of computer learning algorithms, one of which is trying to generate faces that fool the other into thinking they're real, and the other that's trying to learn how to detect the fake faces. So the computer fights itself in this cat and mouse game, and after a few weeks, it gets very, very good at generating these complicated faces.
So this is not just a matter of doing what a police sketch artist would do, taking an eye from one person and taking a mouth from another person. The computer is spontaneously generating novel human faces and trying to convince another computer it's real and using that feedback to make it more real.
That's correct. And it's trained on about 70,000 images. So it gets something to start with, right? It gets about 70,000 real images that were drawn from Creative Commons open images on Flickr. And then those images of human faces are kind of its starting set. And then after some period of time, it gets extraordinarily good at generating faces that are in some ways generalized from the 70,000 faces that it was trained on. What we do in our website is we give you one of the 70,000 faces that was used to train it paired with one of the fake faces that it generated. But yeah, the faces are not just, you know, an eye from one person and a mouth from another, but they really are some kind of amalgamation of the overall set of features, if you will, that you see in all of the faces on Flickr. So they may use skin textures from one person, and they may use, you know, eyeglass features from another, and so forth.
Could you guys tell the fake face from the real face?
We can now, and that's why we put up the website in part. We can talk more about that. But we got very good at it fairly quickly. And so we thought with a little bit of practice and by reading a little tutorial that we have up there, people could also learn to tell the difference.
Now, to be clear, people are familiar with the characters in video games.
Right.
These faces are nothing like that.
No.
I mean, you can tell a video game face instantly. This is also not like a Pixar animated face.
That's right. I mean, these are so real. And you have to play the game to really see how real, as Dave is saying. And really, the point of this was to teach people maybe how to detect these, but even more important, just to make them aware of the technology. Because most people, if they see a photo that looks suspicious, they'll say, oh, well, that's Photoshopped. And we want them to start saying the same thing now if they see a real person that might be in a news story, or it might be someone asking you to send money to their house because you're their friend now or something, that this actually might just be a fake human, a fake generated image. And we need to be saying the same thing. It may, instead of just saying it's been Photoshopped, it's been GANed or something. Yeah.
And what does GAN stand for again?
Generative Adversarial Networks, again. It's just the technology. Yeah, we may have to find a different
networks.
Word than that one. But
I hope so.
Let's cut straight to the chase, Dave. I mean, if next time you're on Tinder or one of your listeners is on Tinder, right?
Yeah.
We're used to if somebody's got a face up there, that's a real person.
Yeah.
May not be the person who's actually on the other end, but it's a real person of some sort. No longer. And we wanted to make people aware of that.
How do I use that, though? What does it take? You've trained yourselves, even in the face of this very manipulative technology, to suss it out.
Yeah, we can for now. But what will the problem is the technology is going to get better and better. And so while I can tell these faces right now, I think the most important thing is for people to just be aware that this technology is out
there. Well, we already trust nothing and no one. So I don't I don't know what more we can do except to witness every news event in person and go from there.
Well, I think we've learned how to triangulate from different information sources, right? If you see a single image of something and you say, well, I don't know whether or not this happened. This could be Photoshopped. I'm thinking, for example, of this Photoshop that went around of Michael Bennett purportedly burning an American flag in the locker room, as part of an attempt to discredit the sort of take a knee story. You can just ask yourself, if this really happened, why is there only one photo? There would have been multiple photographers there. Why did nobody write about it? The press is usually there. Why did none of the other players say anything? Why did none of the coaches say anything? And so we triangulate. We've learned that we've got to do that. That's how we kind of deal with the fact that we live in a Photoshop world. And what we're sort of hurtling toward is a world where you can Photoshop audio and video as well. And so we're going to have to learn to do the same kinds of triangulation. Here's the face. Oh, here's a person that knows that person personally and so on.
Is there any way to authenticate photos that, for example, are entered into evidence? Is there any way to authenticate cell phone videos that are now being used to send people to prison?
Yeah, so there's a lot of effort right now in the computer science community, and also there's been several large competitions run by the government, by DARPA. These are agencies trying to get ahead of the technology so you could, look at things like the header and look at aspects of the underlying data creating the image to see if there's suspicious things. I don't know all the details, but I was recently at a meeting a couple of weeks ago where there is enormous effort and trying to beg the computer science community to come try to stay ahead and see if you can auto detect it. So I still think there'll be a time when it will be really, really hard to distinguish. And I think the term that you want to, that maybe your audience may, if they haven't heard this, there are these things called deep fakes.
Yeah, deep fakes are where you can actually map an actor's face with the face of a politician. And get him to look like he's saying something that he didn't.
So if you hear in the news, there's a new competition on, auto-detecting deepfakes. Listen to that word deepfakes, and that's where all the sort of these stories on both the generation and the detection of this kind of image is sort of circling around.
How much farther can this go? I know who wants to be on top of this technology. It's Hollywood. They could create a completely phony and royalty-free film star.
You got it.
And just have them, work for free, essentially.
And actually, it's not even just Hollywood. It is actually, that's really what's sort of spurred a lot of this technology, at least the researchers that have created it. And even researchers out of Adobe, Adobe Research Labs here in Seattle, have talked about this technology being used for Hollywood. But another huge customer for this are large retail companies like Target, for example. They don't want to have to go hire all these models to stand in this clothing. They can just generate it automatically. So it kind of puts some people out of work, but it saves them a bunch of money.
It's a far cry from Max Headroom, isn't it?
I don't know.
At least he glitched.
That's right. He did glitch from time to time. On the model thing, I guess you can't accuse them of airbrushing anymore because the person had no blemishes to begin
with. Well, that's the thing, Dave, is that they do. I mean, that's what makes them so convincing.
Yeah, that's right. You're taking it from real faces, aren't you?
Yeah.
Although what's interesting about the images that we have, they've been trained mostly on fairly, attractive, sometimes movie star-ish kind of, not all of them. There's blemishes for sure. Yeah. Carl's right. That's what makes them so real is that you get sort of the human imperfections.
So what is the secret to figuring out which one is fake, at least for now?
You know what? It's right now it's to look at the backgrounds.
The backgrounds.
Yeah. It's which is really cheating.
Watch out. We're going to be removing that here soon.
Yeah, we'll be. If you look at the backgrounds, the computer is generating these really kind of strange background patterns because it's not really training up on the background. It's training up on these faces. If there's another person in the side of the image, that person may have extra eyes. Or if there's text in the back of the image, it won't be in any language, in any kind of character font you've ever seen, right? It'll just be random squiggles. And so really that's one of the main tricks. Another trick is looking for mistakes in terms of symmetry in the face. Mm-hmm. So if someone's got eyeglasses, there may be a little bezel in one side and not in the other side of the eyeglass, or earrings that don't match. And
or even hooked to the ear. Sometimes they're sort of hanging unhooked.
So the computer isn't perfect yet.
Not yet.
But give it 3 years.
Although they're the one big, the really big giveaway, and we've talked about this before, that if you really are concerned that you're being catfished, or you're really concerned about a particular image that you think might be one of these deep fake images, you could ask for a second one in a different surrounding. And the computers are actually quite poor at giving you that second one of that same person in a different setting.
Mm. Well, keep up the fight for truth. Although, at some point, I won't even know whether you guys are real, right? I mean, you walk into the studio, you look completely normal, but...
it's a hologram of us.
That's right.
Well, I think there is truth, Dave, when we can get at it. And, you know, we're not telling people don't believe anything anywhere. What we're saying is be aware of what's out there and let our standards for figuring out what's true continue to evolve with the technology.
Jevin West and Carl Bergstrom teach the course Calling Bullshit at the University of Washington, and their latest website is whichfaceisreal.com. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thanks, very much, Dave.